Thank you to our praise team for leading us in a sweet time of worship. They were helping us more than you know as we prepared for the message from God on today. We are continuing in the book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi. We've been there for the past couple of weeks, and we plan to be there for just a few more weeks as we are working through the four chapters of that small letter that Paul wrote to encourage the believers at Philippi. But it is a letter that is full of encouragement, full of hope, full of instructions, and it is easy to get stuck sometimes at one place because it is powerful and potent in the words that the Apostle Paul recorded under the influence of the Spirit of God. So if you have your Bibles with you today, and I know you do, whether it is an old-fashioned, traditional, written, put together book, or you have it on digital display, I want you to turn to or go to Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. We began this discussion on Tuesday night in our time together Bible talk, and just want to conclude it on this morning as we prepare to go into chapter 2. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. When you found that in your Bible or on your device, I then love for you to just look up so that we can read it together from the same version on the screen. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Let's begin reading at verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today, for it really is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The unfolding of your word gives light and gives understanding to those of us who are simple. We thank you, Father, that your word is eternal, that it is everlasting, but most importantly, that it is alive and it is active, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate and divide soul and spirit. Father, we thank you that as we sit before your word, that God, you judge the thoughts and attitudes, God, of our hearts. And we're thankful for this, that your word never ever returns to you empty nor void, but it always accomplishes the task for which you sent it. And so we sit before you, and we simply ask that you will speak and send a word to us today that will encourage our hearts, that will strengthen us so that, God, we can stand firm and behave like we are saved. We thank you in the matchless and majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. As we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, I want us to think about this idea, behaving like we are saved. Amen. Behaving like we are saved. As we have shared with you before, this letter from the Apostle Paul was written to the believers at Philippi while he was yet in jail. He was in prison. And while he was in prison, he took time to write a letter to them to encourage them to stay the course. He wrote a letter to them to say to them, I know that you heard about what I'm going through, but don't be discouraged. What I'm going through is working out for your good and for mine. What I'm going through has been sanctioned by God, ordained by God. And even if they meant it for evil, God is going to work it out for good. So don't worry about what you have heard. Don't get upset. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. I want you to stay the course because God is with us and he will deliver us. Remember in verse number 6, he said, we are confident of this, that God who began a good work in us will see it to completion. That means that you don't judge God's end game by what you're going through at the moment. God knows what he has in mind for your life and for my life. And it doesn't matter what we've got to go through to get there. What you can be assured of this, when you're going through it with the right one, that you're going to make it through on the other side the right way. Yeah. That's what Paul was trying to do, was encourage the saints. Don't get discouraged. Yes, life is hard. Yes, life is rough. Yes, there are challenging times. Yes, there is opposition. But don't you worry about all of that. Remember, if God is on your side, he's more than the whole world against you. So he says, behave like you saved. Amen. Paul, in this letter, he is saying to them, I want to come and visit you. I want to come and see you. But I am in prison. I'm hopeful that I'm going to get out. But right now, this is where I am. Paul also expresses to us this struggle that he is in. For in the midst of all of this, Paul says, man, I tell you what, right now it's tough. I'm here. I'm supposed to be on the mission field, but they've got me in chains. And to be perfectly honest, I'd much rather be at home with the Lord than to be in these chains. Because Paul understood what it meant to be saved. Paul understood that what it meant to be saved is whether he was in the body or absent from the body, he was in Christ. Paul understood that death only meant that it was a pathway for him to make it to his final destination. And so he wasn't afraid of death. He said, because when my time comes, Christ Jesus will receive me. When my soul, when my spirit leaves this flesh, it's going to enter into the presence of Christ the King. And then I will see him as he is. He said, you don't understand. I'm struggling because I saw him on the road to Damascus. I've seen him in visions. I've been with him. I've spent time with him. I know who he is. I've experienced his power. I know that he is unstoppable. And I can tell you, it's better to be with him than to be amongst all these hell raisers that's trying to stop me from doing his will. And so he says, I'm struggling because I would much rather be present with the Lord. He says, but also God gave me an assignment that my job was to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and it was to make fruitful disciples, committed followers and believers of Jesus Christ, who would leave their old empty way of life, embrace his lifestyle, pursue and chase hard after him. And as much as I want to go, I know that my work is not done. And so I've resigned myself to say that while I am here in this body, I am going to produce fruitful labor. I'm going to work, and I'm going to work as though this is my last day. I'm going to work as though I understand my assignment. I'm going to work and not be distracted by the things of this world. I'm going to work and carry out the assignment that God has given unto me, so that when I have finished my labor, there will be fruit from my work. And so I think I'll be here. What Paul said is, I think I'll be here just a little bit longer. I think I'll be here just a little bit longer. And then when he enters verse 27, this is where he says, whatever happens, it don't matter whether God calls me home or whether I make it back to see you. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, I want you to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, that is where I took and tagged, behave like you say. Because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ talks about a man who came from heaven, who lived among men, who was without sin, who died for the sins of mankind. God raised him from the dead so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to add anything to it, and you certainly better not take anything away. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he didn't say you might be saved. He didn't say if you do this, this, that, and the other, you will be saved. No, he just stops with confess, believe, you shall be saved. That's the gospel. That if you bold enough to open up your mouth and say Jesus is Lord. Oh, wow, wow. Let's practice. Let's practice. Let's practice. Let's practice. Let's practice. If you're bold enough, you're bold enough. Junior, if you're bold enough, if you're bold enough, you're bold enough, you're bold enough to say Jesus is Lord. And to say it like you really mean it, like you understand what it means to say that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Man, y'all trying to start something. Listen at you. See, when we jump over to chapter 2 in Philippians, don't go there yet. When we jump over to chapter 2 in Philippians, Paul is going to tell them that we ought to have this attitude in us that was in Christ Jesus. And when he gets to the end of that whole little section, he talks about how Jesus Christ, because of his obedience to God, because he suffered and died, because he died on a cross, he talks about how God then exalted him above every name, every title, every position that exists, not only in this age, but in the age to come, how God set him above everything. When you say Jesus is Lord, what you're saying is that there is nobody above Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying that he reigns, he rules, he has the final word. When you say he is Lord, you're saying, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. So anyone who is bold enough to say Jesus is Lord, and then have the conviction, the belief in your heart. Let me be clear. I'm not talking about you get a fuzzy feeling. You know how somebody, so when you start talking about the heart, people start thinking about, you know, that little fuzzy feeling that you get, that it skips a beat. See that'll put you on shaky ground if you're going by that. How do you know you were saved? My heart skipped a beat. What? I felt it in my heart. What did it feel like? No. He's going beyond just the idea of what you feel. And I'm not saying that it's void emotion, because it is full of emotion. Because when the Spirit of God opens up your eyes, when the Spirit of God gives you a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, there is something that happens on the inside of you that you just can't keep to yourself. Yeah. For some of us, it made tears start streaming down our face. Because we felt something. It was conviction and love all at the same time. He know how dirty I am, but he loves me enough to take me and grab me and hold me and say, you ain't too stinking for me. My. And when that happens, you feel something. And you get excited about it too. When you realize that you've been saved and you're redeemed, it makes you want to dance. You get a rhythm. You like, oh my, what just happened? To the left two times. Woo! To the right two times. You know, you want to move. You want to move. And so I'm not saying that it is void of emotion, but I want you to understand that when he talks about believing it in your heart, he's talking about how the complex of your person comes together. You know, your thoughts, your mind, what you believe, how it comes together in the heart. And you are moved to a place of saying, I believe that with every fiber of my being. And there is nothing that you can say to make me move from the position of declaring that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I don't care what theological arguments you come up with. I don't care what kind of reasoning you come up with. There is nothing that you can say to make me disbelieve what I just believed and what I said I believe, because I know that he lives. Mm-hmm, I know. So it's that kind of belief in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He died, but death could not hold him. He died, but death had to let him go. And then God exerted his power upon his dead body. On the third day, that which was dead, he raised to life, full of power. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in every fiber of your being that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. You're saved. If you've done that, then Paul is saying, act like, behave like, conduct yourself like you are saved. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Carry yourself in a manner that is worthy of the life that was given so that you could be set free. Act like Jesus is Lord. Act like he's been raised from the dead. And behave in such a way. I love this encouragement from Paul. As he acknowledges the people at Philippi live in an interesting place. Philippi was a Roman colony where the people put a lot of pride in their Roman citizenship. Their population was also comprised of lots of ex-military, ex-soldiers who lived in that area. In fact, the historical records indicate that because there was actually no other place for them to go after all the battles had been fought, that this place, Philippi, was actually created, established with the idea of sending those soldiers there to begin a colony. So they had this incredible sense of patriotism and their incredible love for Rome and their desire to make sure that they look like Rome. And so when Paul begins to talk about conduct yourselves, behave like you are saved, he's saying, now you are Roman citizens, but more importantly than that, you are citizens of heaven. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. See, when you are saved, you are no longer just a citizen of your birthplace. You now have citizenship in heaven. And what you and I need to be reminded is that our citizenship in heaven takes precedence over our citizenship over our birthplace. In other words, now you are a citizen of heaven, and the rules of heaven become more important than the rules of your birthplace. Okay. Yeah. It takes a higher standard, a priority. And Paul is saying to them, behave like you belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't act like the rest of them Romans act. Romans was kind of on the wild side, in case y'all didn't know. I don't know if y'all ever watched any of the movies. I've only seen the previews because, you know, them R ratings, they be getting carried away with what they expose. And so I'd be like, wow, okay, enough already. Because them Romans were a little bit on the wild side. And Paul was saying to the believers at Philippi that you don't need to act like the Romans. You need to act like the people that you have been called to be, that you have been redeemed to be, that Jesus Christ has made you, people who have been rescued out of darkness and brought into the dominion of his kingdom, into his light, and you are to live in that kind of manner. Conduct yourselves and behave like you are saved. Along with that becomes a lot of conduct that we talk about. In fact, if you go to Colossians chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 17, Paul will identify for us behaviors around holy living. In fact, it is entitled Rules for Holy Living. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, then you will discover that Paul talks about living as children of light, that you and I ought to act like we belong to the kingdom of light. In these places, Paul deals with specific behaviors that you and I need to make sure that we are not a part of, things that our nature pulls at, but he says you have to resist it because you are no longer under control of your sinful nature, but now you are under control of the Spirit of God. And so Paul helps us understand what he means when he talks about conduct yourselves in a manner worthy by speaking in other places about what that looks like. I want to suggest to you that the other thing that happens when we can start conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we change the way we speak. We change the way we think. In fact, your thinking precedes your behavior change. You've got to think right thoughts in order to behave appropriately. Amen? You've got to change the way you think. That's one of the reasons God has given us his word. Be renewed in your mind by the word of God. being washed and renewed. And so he gives us his word so that we can change the way we think. And then he gives us his spirit so that we can walk it out, not in our own strength and power, but in the strength that he provides. And so we've got to change the way we think so that we can change the way we behave, so that we can begin to behave like we are saved. I said to you that our praise team helped us today in their selection of songs as they were singing how we ought to behave. If you were here early enough, you would have heard the song playing that talked about being washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as new. Because when you are saved, your sins are forgiven. They are put away from you as far as the east is from the west, which means that you no longer carry them with you. You no longer walk around with that load on your back, nor do you allow your sins to carry and take up space in your thoughts. Why? Because you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you have been forgiven of your sins. Now, if you've been walking with Christ any amount of time, what you know is that the enemy of your soul likes to remind you of who you were. Yeah. If you've been walking with Christ and you start to do the things that you believe Christ wants you to do, what you realize is that the enemy of your soul comes and he tries to interrupt your flow. Just when you're feeling good about who you are and what you've done, he comes to remind you of who you used to be, what you used to do, where you used to go, how you used to talk, what you used to drink, what you used to smoke, what you used to show in the clothes that you wear. He comes to remind you of who you were. But when you start behaving like you are saved, you don't worry about him reminding you of who you are. Sometimes you have to say to him, I'm glad you reminded me. I had forgot I was like that. Because you know, when you've been walking with the Lord, you sometimes forget that you used to be like that. Mm-hmm. You forget you used to have a mouth like a sailor. Yep. And you have to be reminded so that you can have hope for other folk, because the same thing that redeemed you from your nasty mouth is going to be the same one who redeemed you from your nasty mouth is going to be the same one who redeems them and cleans them up from their nasty mouth. Amen. It wasn't anybody getting in your face talking about, you know, you ain't supposed to be talking like that. And if you don't get out of my face, I have some words that you ain't heard yet. You better go. You better back up. Because you know how it is when people come at you, right? When they come at you, it's like something just rises up in you. It does. And you like, you know what? It wasn't that changed you. It was the fact that you started spending so much time falling in love with Jesus. You start desiring to please him more than please people, that all of a sudden you gave his spirit more authority, more rule in your life, that those things that used to have you bound no longer have power over you. And when you start understanding what delivered you, you start trying to get other folks to the same thing that delivered you. And his name is Jesus. And it's the power of the blood. You start behaving like you say, you don't get too put off with them. You learn how to pray. Mm-hmm. Because you discover that when you didn't have sense enough to pray for yourself, there was somebody else who put your name on the prayer list and start praying for you. The prayers of righteous people are powerful. They are effective. They bring about change. So you start praying that you will see in that individual what God wants to bring out of them. Not from you, but from him. We start to behave like we are saved. So you change the way you think so that you can change the way you behave. But this begins with your thinking. And so as the praise team was leading us, Pastor Carol then took us to Psalm 100. She talked about how our attitudes ought to be. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with? Oh. And then it talked about we are the sheep of his pasture. So it says that you and I then, if we are behaving like we are saved, we are grateful people. Amen. Great. Let me. There are some different grateful, not grumpy. Grateful. We are grateful people with thanksgiving in our hearts. Therefore, there's a praise that regularly comes out of our mouths. In fact, in another of his letters, Paul talks about we all greet one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, we are encouraging one another. Why? Because we are grateful people with praise on our lips. We're so grateful that we learn how to look for things to praise about. We learn how to look in bad situations for things to praise about. That after you heard the bad stuff, you're waiting for an opportunity. Oh, now, I can praise about that. Because you're looking for it because you know what? God is good, and what praise is the acknowledgement of God's goodness even in our so-called bad times. We learn how to praise God in good times and in bad times. I like the song that says, when praises go up, blessings come down. And so when I'm in need of a blessing, and when I'm in need of something, what do I learn to do? I learn how to praise the Lord. And so you and I then begin to adjust our behavior so that we are grateful people who enter with thanksgiving wherever we go, who have a praise upon our lips because we know that we are the sheep of God's pasture and God takes care of his sheep. We know that he provides for us, that he keeps us. We have Psalm 23 upon our lips, knowing that because the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything that we need. We have no want. And because we understand that, we can enter any circumstance, situation with praise and thanksgiving on our lips and in our hearts. That's when you're behaving like you're saved. Like the one who delivered you knows how to keep you. Amen? Then they took us to Psalm 93:1 that says, the Lord reigns. Talked about how he is armed with strength. And then they sang that song, our God reigns. When you are saved, you start acting like the God who saved you reigns. Reigns over your circumstances. Doesn't matter what's happening. You do know what the word reign means, right? That means that he's in control. That means that he rules. That means that he has the final say. That means that what he speaks, nobody can unspeak. That means that whatever door he opens, nobody can close. That means that whatever door he closed, nobody can open. That means when he say jump, they say how high. That means when you're between a rock and a hard place, that he's the one who can open up, if you will, the Red Sea and give you a path on dry ground so that you can get to the destination that he has assigned for you. That's reigning over your circumstances. That means that when he sent you on assignment to take over something, that he makes sure that when you go in his name, that he will provide. That even if you've got to walk around the wall 7 times, he reigns over your circumstances. And when you give a shout of praise unto God, the wall that was keeping you out comes crumbling down so that you can go in and take possession of what he has for you. And see, when you behaving like you are saved, you don't let the wall that somebody else has erected push you off course. Yeah. You simply do what God has told you to do and wait for his deliverance. So you and I, when we are behaving like we are saved, we behave like God reigns. Like he is in control. Like there is no situation that can come against us that our God can't handle. We act like God really is an omniscient, omnipotent God. We act like God really does know everything that's going on. We act like when we say, we don't act like God is surprised. Just because you didn't know about it doesn't mean that God didn't know about it. And when you and I are saved, we act like God is the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God who can take whatever situation I may have found myself in and still have a way of escape. You'll still have deliverance. When you are saved, when you begin to behave like you are saved, you act like God reigns in the middle of every situation and circumstance. And then I love the other song that they did, because I told you they were simply helping us. You behave like you are saved, you start behaving like your God is a way maker. Look at you. She got my notes, y'all. A miracle worker. A promise keeper. Light in the darkness. That's who he is. You didn't save yourself. He saved you. He didn't save you to lose you. He saved you to deliver you. You are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. You are a bullet point on his resume. You are on display for God's glory. It is his reputation that is at stake. It's his word that you and I are standing on. He's the one that's got something to lose if he don't deliver. It's him who's taking care of us. And when we start behaving like we are saved, we start acting like God really cares about his reputation. We start acting like God really cares about the fact that, you know what, when I deliver you, it's going to look good on me. And so when trouble starts to come your way, you start remembering that, yes, my God is a way maker. Yes, my God is a miracle worker. Yes, my God is a promise keeper. And in my dark valleys, he's a light in the darkness. So why should I be worried, upset, or afraid? Let me start acting like I'm saved. When fear comes knocking, let me start acting like I'm saved. When doubt shows up, let me just start acting like I am saved. The God who saved me is able to deliver me. The final song they sang was that he was a great God. You and I have to believe our God
is a great God. Amen. That means that when all is said and done, he will indeed fulfill his promises to us. He has said that I'm saving you right now. And when all of time and eternity is ended, I will save you completely. That there is nothing that will come your way that can stop God's move in your life, because he is a great God. In fact, when you and I start behaving like we are saved and acting like God is who he said he is, there will be nothing that will prevent us from standing up and representing the kingdom of God well. In fact, that's what Paul is saying to the believers at Philippi. You need to stand firm. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened, because what those are going to be those, there will be those who come up against you. But you need to know that because God is on your side, whoever comes up against you will lose, because you are on the winning side. You need to remember that because you are saved, that God will be with you. He will fight your battles. You can stand still and watch him do what he is going to do. You can trust that God will deliver. In fact, you need to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who was probably a bad Negro. you need to remember those three boys because they came up against someone who thought he had the power, because God had ordained for him to rule at that time, and because he did not understand that it was by God's sovereignty that he was ruling, he was acting a fool. And when he started acting a fool, telling folk that they need to worship him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "You ain't my God. You ain't the one who delivered us. You ain't the one who saved me. You ain't the one that I'm going to bow down to. You can threaten me all you want to threaten me. You can come against me with everything you want to come against me with. I will not bow." When you and I are saved and we start to remember the heroes of the faith, we will take a posture in a position that says we will not budge, we will not compromise, we will be holy because he has called us to be holy, and we're going to act like we saved. Just because you think you big enough to do whatever you want to do, I can't do that because I belong to God. You remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king got so mad at them that he ordered that they be thrown into the furnace. Now, it's bad enough to be thrown in the furnace. Yeah. They said heat it up 7 times hotter than it normally is. Come on, dude, for real? Come on, man. And if that's not bad enough, tie them up, bind their hands. And they said, "We don't fight. We ain't got no problem." What you know is this. What ain't going to happen is we ain't going to bow down. You can threaten to throw me in a fire that's 7 times hotter than it normally is. You can tie my hands and bind me. But what ain't going to happen is that with your threats, I still ain't going to bow. And it became an opportunity for God to show the bigness of who he is. See, I know you don't like trouble, but sometimes trouble comes your way so that God can display the bigness of who he is. I know. I'm like, listen, I confess it. I told you I want a trouble-free life. But I've got a problem. I also want to see the miracles and the power of God on display. Richard, you can't have it
both ways. You cannot discover the bigness of God living a rose-colored life. You can't. And because you are a citizen of heaven, the pressures of this world are fighting you to keep the power of heaven from being manifest in your life. So because you're a citizen, you're already in a fight. Fights mean that it's not going to be easy. There are going to be some rounds. You're going to take some mean punches. Uh-oh. She said the corner man. You're going to take some punches, but the corner man, he can work some stuff out. She been watching Creed. Y'all get her. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said that, turn the furnace up, bind us, we will not bow. And the king said, okay, have it your way. And he pushes them, they throw them in the furnace. And if you remember, the fire was so hot that those who were actually putting them in the furnace, they got burned up. Oh, man, I wish that was the message that we was preaching, but it ain't. Because listen to that. Folk messing with you, trying to start stuff with you. Listen. When you act like you saved, the one who is keeping you will take care of you. And what was supposed to do you harm won't mess with you. But those who was digging that ditch, whoo, those who was trying to push you in, look out. Look out. Since hard as the fire was, it burnt up those who was trying to put them in. But they still go into the fire. And when you start acting like you are saved, you can be in the fire and still walking around doing the things that we talked about earlier. Thanksgiving. Praise. Acting like you are saved. And as they were in the fire, talking to one another about, man, I thought we were supposed to be going in the fire. Man, this is the coolest fire I ever been in. Having a conversation. And then when the king looks in, he discovers their reason for having the conversation. Because there was a fourth man in the fire. Don't you like that God will show up in your circumstance? God will show up in your situation, and he will walk with you in the midst of it, and he will keep you from being overcome. Right there, when you start behaving like you saved, you start realizing that there is nothing that can keep God away from you. There is nothing that can stop him from entering into your space, into your situation. And at the right time, he shows up. Why didn't you show up before the king threw me in? You know that's how we feel. Right? But when you acting like you say, if you trust the providence of God and know that God's timing is perfect. I wanted deliverance, but God didn't bring deliverance at that time because he was saving it for this moment. Because after he delivered me on this, the king looks in and say, oh my, what is this? Bring them boys out because I've got to talk to them. What happened? We threw in three, but I see four. They ain't been consumed. Listen, and when they pulled them out, they didn't even smell like smoke. When you and I begin behaving like we are saved, we no longer look like what we're going through. We no longer look like what we've been through. When we start behaving like we are saved, he takes us, he renews us, he refreshes us, he replenishes us, he restores us. And you know God is in the business of restoration. He always takes what was and makes it look better. And so when you behave like you've been saved, God will take care of you. So, brothers and sisters, act like you're saved.
Behave like you say, so that the enemy of your soul will know that he is defeated. That he might be able to get a shot in now, but God has the final word. Behave like you saved, because how you respond in the midst of trouble is going to be a testimony to somebody else about the God that you serve. So stand firm. Don't be afraid, and have the confidence to believe that the one who saved you and began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Amen. If you believe that, will you just give God a big hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Glory. He reigns. He reigns. Father, we thank you that you reign. We thank you, O God, that you remain sovereign over time. You remain sovereign over circumstances. You remain sovereign over the heavens and the earth. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit who lives in us. It helps us, God, to behave in a manner consistent with the profession of our faith and with the work, the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us and redeemed us. Thank you for your Spirit that does not allow us to walk alone, but gives us everything that is needed so that we can finish the race. And so we ask today that you would help us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the cost of our salvation. Of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.